This episode of the Off Course Podcast is brought to you by Srixon Golf Balls. I have personally had the opportunity to experience the entirety of their lineup in the THP Tech Studio and have confidently featured a number of them in our testing. Whether you are looking for a premium urethane option in the Z-Star series, a quality budget option in the soft feel, or somewhere in between with the Q-Star Tour, Srixon Golf is bound to present an option that will work for your game. For more information, visit www.srixon.com.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of the original Off Course. I'm your host, Dan Edwards, and joining me this week is Mr. Casey Schultz of Cleveland, Srixon, and Zexio. How are you, Casey?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me, Dan.
Yes, sir. Hey, I know we've had Noelle on a number of times, and everyone's very familiar with her if they're on the THP community forums. Can you give us a little bit of a breakdown as to where you've come from and what your current role is with the company?
Sure. Yeah, I've been at the company almost 5 years now, and I'm a product manager. So basically the guy in charge of setting up the ideas and working with both marketing and R&D on kind of getting products from sort of a concept phase to real production and making sure everything goes smoothly throughout the entire process. So a lot of creativity and a lot of fun with working together with all different teams to make sure we make the best products we can for you guys.
Yeah, I love that. So golf industry obviously is a unique one to be a part of, and are you locally from California? Did you make your way out there based on this position? How did you get out that way?
Yeah, so I actually started golfing and everything. I grew up in Washington, so I'm used to playing in the rain. I don't know how many listeners out there have had a lot of experience with that. People down here don't understand how it's a completely different game when you're dealing with the elements. But yeah. I played through high school, had some fun experiences there. I missed tournaments because of two footers that came up short because the hole was filled with water. So definitely have all kinds of element experience there, but ended up going to college in Idaho, went to Boise State, go Broncos, and came out to California for the job right after college. So I've been down here for, almost 5 years now, and been really enjoying my time at Cleveland Golf.
So be totally honest with me. Is it just a different world down there? You're in around Huntington Beach, right? That's the area.
Yeah. Yeah, we're in Huntington. I actually live just up the coast in Seal. But yeah, it's a different monster down here. It's honestly tough to get out and golf. I'm not used to 6 hour rounds and all the amount of time you have to call ahead to get a tee time out here. It's just a much different beast when it comes to golfing. But we still get out and have a good time every once in a while.
You send that email with a little Cleveland Srixon Zexio notation at the bottom, like, hey, you want me on your golf course right now.
Yeah.
6 hour rounds, is that a thing?
Do you deal with
that regularly?
Oh yeah. There's a few courses around here that I actually have never played 18 holes on because I'll just end up jumping around on the back nine or, you know, going back a few holes to try to save my sanity instead of waiting on every tee box. So it's tough.
Wow. California casual to a whole new presentation. Hey, when we play in 4 hours and 20 minutes here, the old guys get really cranky in Ohio. So I don't know. I've heard a lot of stories about 6 hour rounds. Did you know that, Casey, if you ask every single golfer if they're a slow player, the answer is consistently no, not a chance.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I can believe it. It's out here too. I mean, it's just so many people wanting to pay. They just stack the tee sheets. So it's partially the golfer's fault. It's partially the course is just trying to milk for as many players as you can. But it definitely doesn't make the experience quite as enjoyable when you're spending that much time on the course.
So what kind of player are you? You'd mentioned that you'd done some golfing in high school. So I'm assuming you're a bit of a stick. Can you beat Noel?
I can definitely outdrive Noelle. I think distance is my strength, but around the greens, she'll smoke me any day of the week. So I probably play a little bit more than she does nowadays. But my short game has taken a toll since I really played more seriously in high school and whatnot. And I just don't get the reps in anymore. So it would be an interesting competition against her, but I don't know. I would probably give her the benefit of the doubt on that one. I can make things look really pretty off the tee and hit some decent iron shots every once in a while, but you want to just cover your eyes when I'm around the greens. It's not a pretty sight to hold any longer.
So I'm just trying to create a casually aggressive rivalry between the folks over there. I hope she listens in and shoots me an email and tells me that I need to chill out a little bit on this. But I don't know. I think it'd be interesting to find out. Bloodbath. But what's in the bag right now for you, Casey? Yeah, you've got a serious collection of product to select from. It's got to be a rare condition where there are many companies out there who have a couple lineups, but you guys have like a couple brands. Yeah. So you get to reach pretty deep into the well for what really suits your game. So for what does it look like in there?
Yeah. So I've got kind of what I call a sales rep set, more or less, which I somewhat did for fun, but somewhat did just to actually go full combo and really make every single club sort of fit its purpose. So iron-wise, I start with the two ZX Utility, which I think is just a phenomenal club. I've got, what do I have in there? A KBS Tour Graphite Shaft in there, TGI Graphite, I believe. So that's a fun setup. I really like to use that thing off the tee, get it in play, in theory, is a good option there. And then from there, I go to the ZX5s in my 4 and my 5 iron. So, ZX5s, 4 and 5 iron. I have Modus 3 120s in both of those. Then I go to ZX7s in the 7 and, sorry, 4, 5. I believe I have 6, 7, 8 ZX7s. So a little bit more forgiveness than the blades I have in my short irons, but not as much distance as the 5 since I don't really need the distance in those mid irons. I swing debatably too hard on my irons and it's probably a flaw of my game, but I only really need that added distance with some of the technologies we've got in the long irons. So a little bit more control in the short irons. And then I go to the blades and the 9 and the pitching wedge, mainly to support my ego. I think I probably should put some ZX7s there, but it's fun to have a couple blades in the bag. So
are we talking about X-Forged here?
So the Z-Forged blades.
There's Z-Forged, right?
Yeah. So I've got those in the 9-9 and the pitching wedge. And then I've got a 24 degree, I believe, hybrid, which is basically redundant to my 2-iron, but I use it more to approach par fives and don't hit the 2-iron too much, except for off the tee.
So you're playing that hybrid for height, right?
Yeah.
Coming in, collapsing onto the green. Yeah,
definitely.
Close enough to miss a putt is what you're saying.
Yeah, the theory is I'm supposed to be hitting greens with that. And it's also just useful whenever you get a bad lie in the rough. A 2-iron is pretty tricky to hit off of that. So kind of a utility club there. So that's the ZX hybrid that I've got there. Then I've got a ZX fairway wood as well, 15 degree. Both of those, I've got the hazardous smoke black shafts in there, which are good for a bit of a low spin option. And then the driver, I'm currently rocking a ZX7, the smoke black. I've been messing around with the Launcher XL a little bit on tighter courses. So kind of switch between those two with, I got smoke yellows in there for that counterbalance control. The ZX7, I can really bomb, but I did play a much tighter course recently and put a the Launcher XL in the bag, and it really kept me on course with some shots that otherwise might not have found anything even remotely close to the fairway. So
I'm wondering, a lot of I've seen your tour pros actually lean into the ZX5 quite a bit more.
Yes.
In the driver, and actually THPers as well have been doing that. You seem to be immune to that. You went straight to Cleveland.
Well, yeah,
let's go with a big bomber instead.
Yeah, right? I honestly, after seeing all the tour guys go to the ZX5s, I got my 7 very early on. I've been kind of regretting not putting the 5 in the bag, seeing like, wow, do I really need less forgiveness than Hideki? Probably not. So I do think there's something to the added forgiveness of the 5. It does spin a little bit more. So when I really catch the 7, it goes for miles. But honestly, a 5 would probably be a good combination between the forgiveness I get when I switch to the Cleveland and just the pure distance I get with the 7 and the low spin characteristics. So, yeah, I think 5 is probably the one for me. I just haven't gotten into putting that one in the bag instead. It was perhaps a questionable decision with where I strike the ball to put the 7 in the first place. But the draw of the low spin can kind of get you.
So then let me guess, Zipcore wedges.
Yeah, so I actually have a CBX Zipcore for the gap wedge.
No, you do not.
Yeah, I do.
You know, there are two things I was going to challenge you on in your what's in the bag. Number one, that you don't have a ZX4 iron in there is straight up criminal based on the experiences I've had. And number two, there is no way you go from a bladed pitching wedge to a cavity back wedge.
Yeah, there's always been something for me, and maybe I'm one of a kind here, but I've hit gap wedges so poorly throughout my life. I don't know if it's the length or the weight of the shaft. It probably is to an extent the weight of the shaft, and I normally have gone stock. But I have an issue hitting my gap wedges very toey compared to like a pitching wedge. So having a little bit more forgiveness there has really helped. It does seem a little ridiculous that I go from a blade Srixon iron to a cavity back wedge. But for some reason, that club has always been troublesome.
Let's be clear. You would fit in brilliantly on THC. Okay. This is dead nuts. Like I've had people comment on my bag before and they're like, what in the world is going on in here? And I'm like, listen, it works. Okay.
Yeah.
They're like, what is that four iron doing in there? Why is it the length of a five wood? I'm like, well, okay, here's the deal. Stop thinking about it and just let it happen. And I think that's where you are at the bottom of the bag, right? It's like a little forgiveness yo-yo.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. And it's a club I use more partially too. And everything starts going funky when I go into partial swings, whether it be with a sand wedge or with a gap wedge. And I've always had consistent strikes with full swing clubs, pitching wedge down, at least contact wise. I can hit it a mile left or a mile right, but I don't chunk or thin too many irons. So having a little bit more forgiveness and that rounded leading edge and everything on the CBX Zep course really has helped on that gap wedge. And then I go to a 56 degree RTX Tor rack. I've got the full bounce there as a baseline, but then I've used the Tor rack program to add an S-shaped grind and a rounded leading edge for a little bit more versatility with that bounce and then the rounded leading edge, so I don't dig and chunk quite as often. So.
This guy's a THP-er. What can you say?
Yeah.
So let's circle back on CBX because it's a conversation I wanted to have.
Even
with it outside of your bag, I kind of wanted to grief you for not putting it in there. I'm almost disappointed now to know that it is in there. But, I was reading through the website earlier and I saw that the conversation around the improvement of MOI is really built on that perimeter concept where you will benefit when you hit outside of that. And we actually did a video test on THP in the THP Tech Studio where I hit them against the standard zip core. And the assumption was a couple things. Number one, that the quality of the strike would be a little bit better off of the CBX because there's a wider area to hit, to miss. And then the accuracy would be a little bit tighter with zip core because, you know, there's less going on there. I have more control over where the ball goes. Well, here's the truth of the matter. I hit both of them in the middle of the head, which was perfect.
Yeah.
But what I didn't expect is that CBX would be all over the other zip core in terms of accuracy. I was like peppering the green. I'm like, wait a minute, which wedge am I hitting right now? So I want to know for you, Casey, when you put this into testing for the first time, did you get that same sort of experience where you're like, it's a forgiving iron. I'm a blade guy down here. I can't be doing this. And then you peppered a couple of greens. You're like, okay, maybe there's a little bit of something here.
Oh, definitely. I mean, it's those off-center strikes that you can really feel it. I mean, for me, I've always hit gap wedges all over the face. I don't know what it is, something the length, the combo, getting in my head about trying to hit it close for a birdie when you've got that club in your hand. And just the nerves and everything get to you for me with that club. And my distance control was worse with that traditionally than with any other club in the bag. Lots of short shots and kind of a little spinny miss to the right would commonly happen. So putting a CBX zip core or even older generations of the CBX as well in the bag have really just helped consistency there. On no matter where you strike it, you're going to get a very similar result. And you don't have to be quite as perfect as you have to with an RTX or just a traditional blade style wedge. RTXs are getting more forgiving with zip core, especially kind of being a revolution there. But with everything going on with the CBXs and the hollow cavity we've got built in and the zip core and the hosel and the perimeter weighting and everything really designed for that forgiveness aspect, along with a still confidence inducing sort of traditional design at address. You're not going to look at a hideous wedge when you're playing this thing either. So it's like you're playing any wedge you ever have before, except that it's going to be a lot more consistent with all the shots around the greens, which is just game changing for me at least.
Yeah. So circling back on Zipcore itself, the concept there is you take a lot of the weight outside of that heel portion and put it, throw it more into the perimeter locations that support a good quality golf shot, right?
Yes. Yeah. So absolutely. A little longer hosels, MOI up there, a little bit more in the toe, a little bit more just kind of around the wedge in general for sure.
So I'll be totally honest, and I'm kind of gaslighting some of the older products coming out of Huntington Beach, just to be clear. First of all, I was obsessively in love with RTX 4. It was such a good wedge for me. I had a blast gaming it. I gamed it until I'm pretty sure the chemicals in the golf course I play at all the time had eaten through one. So, I mean, there was true love there, but there was a time when in that process, in that Rotex process, that I really was not gelling. And I think it had a lot to do with where that weight was and how I swung. Uh-huh. But I've noticed in these newer iterations of your wedges, they become a lot more user-friendly in my perspective. And I did not get the same experience at all, especially when I got to the Zipcore, is that they're just, they slot really nicely. It seems like the weight's very well considered there. Is that the kind of feedback you were anticipating from people, or did you expect people come and say, "Oh, I've gamed your wedges for years. You've done something to it. This is a problem. I'm very angry with you."
No, yeah, we weren't too worried about it necessarily, because we've kept the base of RTX 4 with RTX Zipcore. I think there's a lot of similarities, you know, things that we're learning to not change too much, like the grinds kept very similar from RTX 4 to RTX Zipcore, and just kind of figured out which areas we can improve with what was already, we thought, in RTX 4, a great wedge. Just adding a new technology like RTX.
Outstanding wedge, let's be clear.
Great. Love to hear it. Love to hear it. But yeah, just taking the foundation of something like that, not reinventing the wheel, but adding something revolutionary like Zipcore to just make the properties a little bit better. And with, you know, your strikes and you can feel through the turf and everything staying consistent, you just get more forgiveness. So not really necessarily changing the experience in a way that'll make anybody uncomfortable or be like, "What is this wedge? I've played Cleveland wedges my whole life. This feels new and different, and maybe it's better, but it's kind of weird." We're just taking that same experience you're used to and just improving it with more forgiveness and, you know, new technologies for more spin and stuff like that. So we're taking the foundation and making the wedge better from there, I think, is kind of our motto when it comes to, especially the RTX wedges. They've been so great for a while now.
Yeah. So then there's a little bit of that hollow design in CBX.
Yes.
But then you also have that built out cavity in the back that has, I think, some sort of gel or material in between.
Yeah.
That connector. So I have two questions about that. Number one, how critical is that gel component to the acoustics of the product, and how critical was that inclusion to keep it sounding similar or close to similar to the standard Zipcore?
Yeah, the gelback TPU definitely does help. I mean, and also cosmetically, just making the wedge look sort of symmetrical when you've got this weird sort of hollow design that's going on the inside, to make it look more like a traditional wedge or even a cavity back iron, is something that really helps with. But yeah, it certainly is a key part of the overall equation when it comes to designing a wedge that has all this crazy technology on the inside, designs you're not used to seeing with a traditional wedge, but still maintaining the feel that you expect. So yeah, it's definitely a key component of the overall design.
So do you get a sense, based on your 5 years in golf now, that golfers really want forgiveness? They just don't want to be told and or know that it exists in the club?
Yeah, I mean, we run a bunch of surveys and try to track like this general messaging that we're trying to push forward with. I mean, 10, 15 years ago, wedges that were forgiving, you know, wasn't even a thing that really existed in the market. And the CBX, we feel like, really revolutionized that. And the amount of players now that are understanding that both wedges and the rest of their clubs, forgiveness isn't something to be embarrassed about. It's something that makes you better at the game. And can really just help improve your overall experience and make golf a better time and lower your handicap. And letting your ego run amok and putting blades in the bag isn't really going to help very many people have a better experience with the game when you're shooting a lot of shots worse. I mean, there's something to be said for loving the aesthetic look of your clubs and, you know, the challenge that comes with playing blades.
Yeah.
You really want to improve and get your handicap lower and have more fun with golf that way. Forgiveness isn't something you should be embarrassed about whatsoever.
Yeah, and I see that translating a little bit. I remember when the first Cleveland Altitudes came out, people looked at it and they're like, what in the actual world is going on here? But like into Launcher XL, it just you've adjusted it enough to where it does look more presentable as a golf club. But then I look at clubs like UHX or Launcher XL, and you can tell there's an awful lot going on there, but it's also hidden. And I like to joke around that for the longest time, golf or golf companies, they made a car without the hood on it. And it was like this hollow body concept started taking off, and suddenly like, well, if we cover up what we did, the people will be more inclined to play it. And I think of all these like progressive sets where something happens in the 9-iron that doesn't exist in the, or in the 4-iron that doesn't exist in the 9-iron. Like there's so much there to unpack when it comes to, I'm assuming, your side of things, where you want the golfer to know that, hey, there is stuff going on here, but you don't want to know about it, so we're not going to really show you.
Yeah. I think it's a big kind of thing we've been going forward with. I mean, zip cores in the wedges is a good example of something that's inside the wedge that you can't really see, doesn't affect the aesthetics on the outside, but it really does help the performance. Same thing with the irons. And like the Halo irons have done phenomenally for us with that massively forgiving profile and all the stuff going on in both irons. I mean, Launcher XL irons with the mainframe face that's, you know, a variable design that you can't really see at address, or you can't really see in the overall construction, and weight pads and all the stuff that's going on inside those with a hollow to cavity back type design that just looks like a normal, classic looking iron set throughout the bag, but has under the hood all of this hidden technology that is really there for performance. So from a marketing side, we like to, you know, make the explosive images and everything to show everything that's going on inside too, but you don't want to see that necessarily on the shelves and these big ugly designs with a bunch of, you know, crap everywhere that the technology can look like if you really open it up, right? You've just got weight pads and everything that doesn't look like a whole lot of really beautiful design language if you just look at it that way, but it is real technology that does the work, and we can put a cosmetic finish on the outside that you'll like to see in your bag.
Yeah, it's that V-sole, I think, that really stands out when you look at some of your products, right?
For
and
sure.
And you've tuned that a ton. I want to make a comment on the wedges first and say that I absolutely love that the more iron degree lofts, iron lofted wedges that you're selling have that V-shaped sole that is way more aligned with everything else. I get really cranky when my 50 and my 54, I'm a picky dude. I get it. But I don't really play like open face shots with those. I usually play those as full swing shots, and everything that is on inside 100, that's my workable wedge, my serviceable 58. So I love getting the chance to hit the wedges that have that full V shape down there in the 50 degree range. That's a pretty big deal to me. So it's great to see that there, and it's obviously it changes as you get closer to 60 degrees, even though I don't know anyone who should be playing 60 degrees,
no.
Casey.
I don't have one in the bag either.
Yes, my guy. James, if you're listening, 62 degrees is a lie, okay? But then you go over to like your ZX4s as an example, and you have this Tour VT sole, which it seems like you intentionally wanted this component to be a part of it, but not have a deeper impact on the heel or toe area.
Yeah.
Are you starting to refine that visual technology to say, hey, we want this to be a part of your golf club because we know it helps you, but we don't want it to take over the parts that might hurt you, or that you don't want it to be involved in that ground engagement?
Yeah, I mean, the VT sole design and just the V-shaped sole design has been something we've really staked our flag in and have gotten amazing feedback over the years. Nobody really has anything like it throughout their iron lines. And the turf interaction you feel with it, just the strike through the turf. I mean, we've had pros all the time come back to our irons. You know, I maybe wanted to go to a different brand or something for a deal of a different part and continue playing our irons because of that continued feel that they can't get anywhere else. Strike a little bit behind the ball. There's no better sole in golf for consistency and that speed through the turf. So whether it be the Tour VT sole with the notches, which we've gone with more on the Strixon side, which reduces a little bit more there, or the more traditional one, which we've stuck with on the Cleveland for those slightly larger soles. It can be a little bit large with the notches when you get to those wider soled clubs. It's the reason we keep those off there for now, but we're always, you know, considering iterations in the future as well. The overall V shape is just something that really will notice compared to pretty much any other irons you'll hit. It's kind of a tough one too, because a lot of fittings will be done on mats.
Yeah.
And, you know, feeling a traditional sole versus a V-shaped sole isn't going to be as much of an impact on a mat as it will be, you know, through rough or through real course conditions. So it's a tough one to necessarily replicate in a fitting. You can feel it a little bit, but you take them on the course and you'll really notice a difference over a lot of the other ones you may have played in the past or another iron you might be considering playing.
I mean, Casey, we all hit the fairway. I don't know what this rough talk is, but it's nice you to include it since it is such a visual thing in the golf course.
Yeah, nobody has more experience in the rough than I do. So
okay. Hey, I want to challenge that secondary component of the bag that I thought I was going two for two. Apparently, I only get to do one of two. So I've had a ZX4 five iron in the bag for quite some time. It is super, super fun to hit. There's a 7-iron at the THP Tech studio that just sits in a bag full of Cleveland Surxon products. Anytime I need to neutralize for a video, my personal performance, I grab that 7-iron. There's something special about the ZX4. You mentioned mainframe technology, which is built in. We've already had a little bit of discussion about hidden technology with the hollow design. Sure. And then you were obviously doing some of that. Well, I guess it's not obvious because it's hidden, but you have that progressive technology in some of the longer irons versus the shorter irons.
Yeah,
I've built up this set of irons for anyone listening as the gold standard for potential, but you don't have one in the bag. What in the world is going
on?
I
can tell you the exact reason I don't is they go too far.
They do.
Yeah. I have potentially a flaw in my golf game is that I sell out on a lot of my iron swings. I really go for the gusto. Don't have a three-quarter swing to help. And if I put a ZX4 in the bag, I mean, the fives I have even are a little bit questionable lengthwise. And A4 is just a absolute bomb machine. And I cannot really have that numbers. And the spin is just a little bit too low for me. Most people, that's not an issue, but in long irons for me, holding greens with the ZX4 is tricky because they're designed for a player who can use that distance, which I think is the vast majority of golfers. But I'm in the minority there that the ZX4s are, I mean, I can hit it a mile. It's a lot of fun to see, but I'm kind of leaning towards irons. I even have my long irons bent a bit weak, both of my ZX5s, to try and help me tone in my distance a little bit and help with my gappings. So that's the reason I don't have the ZX4s, even though it's a phenomenal club. And I think most golfers should probably play it. I'm actually trying to hit the ball shorter, which is a little bit
unusual.
Unusual for sure.
In your credit, I'll throw you a little lifeline. You do have the ZX Utility in there, which I'm assuming is fairly similar in build presentation. Is that fair?
Yeah, I would say there's some differences being the offset's a little bit less. It's definitely a little bit more better player designed and a cleaner look at address than the ZX4s. But the overall forgiveness is similar. It's definitely forgiveness designed for your better player a little bit because it'll give that appearance that they're more used to in their potentially 7-series or 5-series irons and a little bit less offset for that kind of better player confidence where you're wanting to not worry about hitting it left quite as much as a ZX4 player who's probably trying to help a little bit more of a draw. So I would say forgiveness is similar, just in a different targeted profile.
Okay. Well, I've had it in the bag for a while, and typically when someone hits it, they say, I need a full set of these. Are you seeing that sort of engagement and activity when it comes to sales? Are you seeing the ZX4 really take off, or are there other products that are showing greater signs of life there?
Yeah, the ZX4 has done well. I mean, it launched a little bit later this time than our fives and sevens, which made it a little bit more tricky from a sales side of things. But we've definitely gotten some great selling with it. And the overall reception has been phenomenal for the ZX4s. I will say there's just more equity built up over the years of the fives and the sevens. So people know them. And the four is kind of the new kid on the block and teaching people like where this really lands. The clean design, people trying to understand more of a player's different distance or more of a game improvement iron has been a bit of a challenge, trying to communicate the forgiveness that it offers in what is really a good looking iron that still offers all that forgiveness. is something we've been working on. But yeah, ZX4s has definitely sold well, and so has the fives, both for the more forgiving type of player. And then obviously the sevens do really well with your better player type. But targeting those guys who can use the forgiveness with Strixon has really kind of opened us up to a larger group of golfers. And, you know, probably a lot of people listening to the podcast could really use to get the forgiveness from a Strixon line that really hasn't been available in past iterations.
There are two guys listening in who need to be paying close attention. Actually, two of which I play regularly with. One is actually my father. So pay attention, Eddie, and, you know, make the next step. I know you haven't bought a couple sets of irons. You're welcome, but it's time. So, Casey, I want to get you in a little trouble. You ready for it?
Go for it.
All right. We are seeing a little bit of a push for this hollow body style to get more player E in the industry in total. I think there's an understanding that golfers want this, but don't want it in such a larger forgiving package. I think you kind of suggested that a little bit with ZX4, where guys would like to get in it, but maybe it's just on that other side of where they want to be. I'm assuming this line's not done. I'm assuming there's more coming. Mm-hmm. Is it fair to assume that as you build that technology in, you are going to challenge the size and the package to be a little bit more compact and a little bit more Strixon-y, if you will?
Yeah. I can't say too much, but that's the kind of thing.
Come on.
That's the kind of thing we definitely look into when designing a new line. And I can say we have a 2-year life cycle generally with Strixon products. So, you know, you can do the timeline for when ZX4, ZX5, ZX7 came out. And I don't know, maybe look for something in the future. We'll see if that that comes true or not. I can't say too much, but that is definitely the kind of thing we take into account when designing new products and look at what's in the market, look at the feedback on the size of irons and things like that. So we're happy with our constructions, but we always can make tweaks to products on sizing and shaping, and we listen to feedback. We really do listen to feedback. So
speaking of feedback, I'm assuming a lot of that comes from your tour players, and you guys have had a pretty massive year. I mean, I had to write down all the names of the wins because there's so many: Spawn, Brem, Shraka, Hideki, Lee, and NASA on the LPGA. Like, this is insane. You guys are having a nasty year out there. It's got to be super fun. I'm assuming the next big one is going to be a major. What are your expectations?
Yeah, I mean, we've had some great luck in majors recently with Shane, Hideki, you know, great performances, inconsistent ones where we haven't won, but have placed up near the top. So yeah, we're stoked about how the tour performance has been recently. And, you know, big names like Brooks joining the squad has really bolstered our sort of reputation out there. And getting a lot of players into our irons, our balls, our drivers this time around has really been, I don't know, reinvigorated the brand, and super fun to see on the tour. And these guys are really seeing the performance that comes with our clubs, and, you know, the results speak for themselves with how well our equipment really will do at the highest level.
So you're a golf fan, obviously, and being 5 years in a brand, you probably get that little homer feel going, and I don't blame you for it. But did it change a lot when you came to Strixon? Did you have guys you rooted for, and then you got here, you got there, and you said, you know, okay, I'll focus on some of these brand guys? Has it evolved over time? Are you finding yourself being like, every week it's Strixon or Cleveland or bust, like everyone else can just get out of here?
I mean, me and the rest of the golf world have probably been a Tiger fan since birth, right? So I'm definitely, I was up watching early PGA Tiger.
Okay. Right?
I'll admit it. Same. I mean, definitely rooting for all the Strixon and Cleveland guys has been phenomenal. You know, working on these clubs and seeing them in their hands, and the impact that they're having in their game, and people, you know, adding new grinds to their wedges and programs that we've introduced and things like that. It's just fun to see, and really seeing everything that we've worked on, you know, come to fruition with new things like the Z-Star Diamond ball going in Brooks's bag, and just all the exciting stuff with our tour players. So yeah, I definitely follow our tour guys the closest, but other pros can definitely drive the needle for me too. I mean, watching Tiger win a big tournament, or even play some rounds at a PGA championship, is always a sight to behold.
I just assumed John Daly, you know, leading a major for at least a little bit of time, is, you know, the highlight of everyone's week.
That was a lot of fun. I mean, we had Bailey, who Y Yang was there for a little while in the early leaderboard, which was throwback.
Did you happen to see they did a not what's in the bag, but what's in the belly John Daly after day one? It was like 20 cigarettes, 12 Diet Cokes, some peanut M&Ms, and nothing else.
Not a drop of water.
I'll tell you what, man, that is inspiring. Yeah. I might give that a try, minus the cigarettes part, next time I head out in the course and see if I can go, what was he, minus two, minus three at one point. So.
Yeah. The guy is just unbelievably talented. It's just unbelievable for somebody like him to, I mean, he's just got an incredible short game. That's what people, you know, don't necessarily focus on with him. He always bombs the ball, but he's just got an incredible touch. And to do what he's done at the age he is now, and I'm sure he doesn't play very often or really focus on his game, and just be able to go out there and almost make the cut, it's just ridiculous.
So let's dive into the golf balls just for a little bit. You mentioned the Diamond, which is a really interesting fit into the Z-Star lineup. I've talked a little bit with Noel about where everything fits in. I think our listeners are familiar with the concepts there. But one of the things we really didn't dive deep into is just how different it is. You're definitely taking your own route there. And where some might have assumed you put Diamond into maybe the other side of the Z-Star, you've actually slotted in between your two products, which I think is great. I'm assuming that's for the guys who want that Z-Star feel, but, you know, need that little extra spin that gets with it. Is that fair?
Yeah. I think it's really the long iron spin that the Diamonds kind of sets itself apart. So if you want the distance of the XV, but you're not really liking the lower spin characteristics in some of the long irons, and the overall performance of the Z-Star around the greens is kind of what you're looking for with the Z-Star Diamond. It's really kind of a benefit of both. So if you've always had a bit of an issue with either the Z-Star or the XV not quite fitting your game, the Z-Star Diamond is a perfect option. That's kind of the best of both worlds and is really designed around your better player who really wants to hold the greens with the long irons. A lot of the tour pros really were looking for that in a ball when we were in development for this. And it was something that Brooks really latched onto, was the ability to hold the greens from a distance, unlike either the other balls is really designed to do. So a bit of a niche ball there, but has characteristics of each, not quite as long as the Z-Star XV, not quite as spinny around the greens as the Z-Star, but a combination of both of those characteristics in a ball that lands right in the middle.
So when it comes to Q-Star Tour, I mean, you have this product that seriously bridges a gap for golfers when it comes to cover technology. In a price that doesn't really make sense for a lot of people, but in the current conditions, the market is actually an unbelievably positive thing. What would you tell a guy who maybe doesn't fit into Z-Star and needs a little bit of that lower spin? What do you get them to jump into Q-Star Tour? What's the story there?
Yeah, I mean, Q-Star Tour is kind of the best of everything for an amateur golfer. It really offers that softer feel that you're going to want off the tee, and with a lower swing speed, you can deal with that softer compression and the urethane cover that comes with the ball for that spin around the greens. So the player who doesn't really need the higher compression balls of the Z-Star XV to go with a, you know, higher swing speed that they've got off the tee, the Q-Star Tour is really a great combination of all of the things that make those tour balls great: the urethane cover, the spin skin, the CIRM, all that technology that we have into those, put in a compression and an overall design that's more designed for your game. So it's really that tour tech with a amateur compression and design to really hit at a price point that a lot of other balls with all that real deal technology and urethane performance do not target.
Yeah, I mean, let's be honest, it's a killer price. I'm surprised it's not talked about more, but there's another thing that people aren't maybe openly saying, but a lot of guys have come around me lately to play golf and say, I'm really into this Z-Star right now. And one of my favorite things is the price. You guys have had a really positive price structure. If you buy a couple dozen, it's something that's not really happening in the industry right now. Is that about gaining foothold? Is it about, you know, positioning, or is it just you see an opportunity to get golfers into product and you want to make sure they're playing a high quality ball at a fair price?
Yeah, for sure. I think it's, I mean, we know our balls are just as good as the competition, but our brand is still relatively new compared to, you know, the big guns out there that you're used to playing your entire life. So having something that differentiates a little bit there and is more of a reason to at least get you into the Z-Star and the Z-Star XV the first time, right? If you've been playing, you know, the top balls out there your entire life, it's a little bit hard to change if you don't at least have a pricing motivation. So we know the performance of our balls is as good or better than anything else the competition makes. But to get golfers to at least give us a chance and see for themselves, that definitely helps get a great foot in the door to the Strixon lineup. And nobody leaves very often once they experience the performance that our balls provide. So it's a good, it's really helping us grow the brand for sure.
So you're a Z-Star guy, I'm assuming, because you said you're not a low spin guy. You definitely need that little extra spin.
Yes. Yeah. I'm a Z-Star XV is the XV. One I currently have.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah.
If you were to game as, I don't have to ask this question anymore because you guys actually brought out Divide for the Z-Star, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
What do you think, man? I know you've played around with it. I know you have. Definitely. There's no way you haven't. So what are your thoughts on that personally?
I think it's a really interesting experience. I mean, it's really unique seeing the spin and everything in the air. I've played with both the Z-Star ones and the Q-Star ones. The Q-Star ones are really wild with that matte finish.
And, the blue and the yellow.
Everything going on. Yeah, it's taken me a little bit to get used to. I've always been a white ball player my whole life. But the benefits of putting with them especially and seeing the spin with the chip shots, for non-competitive rounds for me, I love playing them just to kind of get some practice in and just see all of that. It's still taking me a little bit to get used to. The Q-Star Tour ones with the mat and everything going on, I think is just a blast for most players, though. Most people aren't going to be quite as traditional as me, who hasn't played anything but a white golf ball my whole life. And I think it's a really useful tool for a lot of games.
Yeah, and the nice thing about the Z-Star models is that half of it's white.
Yes.
And it's a similar, it's not a matte presentation. So what I found when I first put it in play, the Q-Star Tour, back when I think there were just two colors, I had the red and yellow one in play, and I put one color down exclusively because I'm like a nothing on the ball when I putt type of guy. I'm a lunatic. Sure. So naturally, I can't handle visual differences, or at least I couldn't. Obviously, you'd get used to it. You get used to anything. But what my favorite thing was is, and this applies, if you want that ball to look white to you, you can position it in every shot you take, with the exceptions of the ones in the fairways or rough, to where that ball is one color. And then as soon as you make contact, you get that visual feedback, which is great. I mean, how much better is it than, you don't have to look at a monitor, you don't have to look at an iPad, you don't have to look at your phone. You are specifically seeing what that ball is doing right off the face. It's a cool concept, man.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. The Z-Star version, I haven't had any issue with playing just on a day-to-day round. The problem is trying to find them. We've been going through them like crazy. So even employees are having trouble putting any in our bags because they're just selling like hotcakes. All of the Divide balls have been, which is a good problem to have. But when you're, you know, trying to play the newest thing and we're out of inventory just because everybody's been loving them, it's a funny experience. But the Z-Star XV Divide has been phenomenal for me. I haven't had too many issues with the white and the yellow being as much of a breakup as the Divide ones for the Q-Star Tour were, which isn't an issue for all people, but for me, a little bit getting used to. So seeing a less drastic white and yellow, but still getting the spin benefits and the alignment and seeing when you hit a putt correctly, which for me, and having dealt with yips for a few years, isn't maybe the most ego boosting thing, but does really help to improve that stroke and improve that strike and know when you make a putt or when you miss a putt, if it was your fault or, you know, perhaps a poor read. So
no one does that. That's
online. Seeing a ball roll online and roll consistency on the putting green is really a good tool to have in every round.
Okay. So tell me really quickly your favorite products from each group. So give me Cleveland and give me Strixon, favorite product from each one.
Cleveland, I think right now, probably, I think the Torac program is really awesome. Okay. For RTX Zip course. So just having the ability to custom grind and add custom leading edges and specific soul grinds with the RTX Zip cores there, I think is kind of one of a kind and offers a lot more performance enhancement than most of the other wedges out there really do. So if you really want a wedge that fits your game specifically, I think that's just a really cool, unique program we offer there. But yeah, other than that, just all of the products offering so much forgiveness across the Cleveland line, I think is just a benefit. So it's hard to pick from the other ones, but for something unique, I think the Torac program is awesome there. Okay. When it comes to Strixon, I'm a real believer in the utility irons. I think that's a fun one that stands out. Just the overall performance being so explosive off the face of something that's so controllable and just fun to hit. I mean, I've watched Tiger hit stingers my whole life, and being able to do that so easily with a club like the 2-iron I've got in the bag with forgiveness and workability built in and a clean address profile, it's just a great time.
You're selling me on it. I've played a last couple. You made these a little bit more compact, right?
The
presentation wise, they're a little bit tighter.
Definitely. Yeah. The ZX Utility offers very similar forgiveness to the past generations, but a much more compact profile. So it's a lot nicer to look at and a little bit more workable too off the tee.
And I'm assuming you held that quality feedback because it by far was one of the best utilities from a sound perspective in the market.
Oh yeah. It's awesome. It's phenomenal. It's a really, really great club and ton of fun to use.
Nice. Casey, do you have any questions for me today, buddy? I've been grilling you for 45 minutes now.
Yeah. What are the strengths of your game? What do you need to work on that we can help you out with here at Cleveland Strixon?
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, wedge and putter, pretty strong. I'd probably rather not talk about my driver game. It's coming around.
Okay.
But it's a nightmare. So
yeah.
Yeah. It's a 2-year nightmare.
Do you have a lot of forgiveness in there? I mean, that's to me has really been beneficial when I've gone to certain other drivers recently, is just trying to come back a little bit, not be so obsessed with the spin numbers and just try to keep it in the fairway. So
yeah.
Maybe the Cleveland would be a good one for you there.
I think the biggest problem for me is like it's a path issue. So like I'll hit it in the middle of the face, but it just will be incredibly unfortunate and sometimes painful. So yeah, like the way you talked about your putter, I think is generally speaking what my driver game has been like for the last year.
Gotcha.
But we'll get it fixed. We'll get it fixed. I've been dabbling a little bit with the ZX5 and
there you go.
We'll get it fixed. It'll be it needs to go away.
Yeah, it sounds like my issue with my irons. I've always been a good contact iron player, but I can hit it pure 30 yards left or 30 yards right, like nobody
just
else.
Just square as square can be.
Oh yeah. Everybody gets very confused. Like, how do you hit it that far off target and that pure? It just doesn't make sense to very many people.
So oh man,
it's a unique problem to have.
Yeah. Well, I suppose the last question here is, should I be buying this WRX or should I stay the course?
Which WRX?
It's the 2021. Oh, yeah. We talked a little car thing and found out that Casey is actually a WRX guy.
He's
up in the mountains in the winter doing those weird on top of the snow sports, I guess, from what it sounds like. But yeah, should I go for it? Is it worth it? It sounds like I shouldn't 2022. I should definitely. Yeah, get by kicked the in the face by 2021. Yeah.
By 2021, and if you can get your hands on an STI by some miracle, that thing's going to hold its value for a while. So.
That's terrifying. My wife hates you. So, but it is that really spicy, like brilliant blue color that I'm just desperate for. Blue is what it is. Yeah.
The Subaru blue is amazing. I have a white, but I've got the classic Subaru gold rims on it.
Nice. So, you'll have to share with the group sometime.
Sounds good. Yeah. It's a fun experience. Definitely a great car to have. So if you're getting a stick, it's one of the better options out there,
which is the only way to drive, right?
Oh yeah. Manual. Sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Hey man, thank you so much for being a part of the show today. And we've obviously learned a lot about the products and if we've got two fairly strong players here, it sounds like messing around with CBX Zipcore, you should definitely go out and take a look for yourself, regardless of your handicap. It's super beneficial. I've got buddies who are playing it in the wedge and say it's the greatest, cheatiest, easiest thing they've ever used in a wedge category. So definitely go check that out and let us know what you think on the THP forums. Casey, we'll have you on again soon. Okay. I appreciate it.
Excellent. Thanks for having me.
All right. Anyone out there playing this weekend, have a great time, make it count, and go try a divide. See if you enjoy it. It's a fun experience.
It's a great time.
THP Radio on the Hackers Paradise Podcast Network, your number one source for all things golf. Subscribe on iTunes to never miss an episode.